Dave from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out over Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
And this week we're talking about...
We're wrapping up the season.
Oh, crap. The season's over. It's the summer.
It is.
We don't have a new episode to talk about.
We don't. This is empty feeling inside.
This is awkward.
The journey is over.
I didn't prepare anything.
Well, no. So what have you been up to?
Not much.
Okay.
How are you doing?
All right. So Avengers Endgame again for twice.
Nice.
Good. It was good.
Nice.
Saw John Wick 3. That was cool.
Cool.
I started a book. I didn't finish it though.
All right.
So nice. I read like the first couple pages.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. This has been our episode.
Good night, everybody. Follow us on Facebook.
seriously, we're now into the summer hiatus of SNL. So we decided for our first one for the summer, we're going to do a season 44 in review. We're going to talk all about the highs and the lows.
Yes,
mostly the highs.
Yeah, mostly. Yeah, we're going to try to avoid the lows. There were some lows here, but we're gonna keep it positive.
We're all about accentuating the positive here on the SNL Nerds.
Yes, we're not going to wallow in the mire that is negativity. That's for Twitter.
You guys know what the bad sketches are. You don't need us to tell you.
You don't need us to let you know about Holes and Kern and all that and all those.
Yes.
Remember those?
Vaguely.
Well, yeah. Keep it vague.
Yeah, I remember Holes, Kern.
That's the what? Steve Carell with the purple corn.
Okay. Oh, yeah, the space one.
Yeah, the space Thanksgiving. Yeah,
right.
No, I've said too
Pete
much.
Davidson with,
I shouldn't have even said that.
That was not good.
It was not good.
That episode was probably one of the biggest surprises of the season, because it was Steve Carell is somebody you think of as a solid host.
Yeah.
And that one just was not that good.
It was a stinkeroo. I was all right. I know we said we weren't going to be negative. And we just veered into the negativity, but we're gonna go back to positive.
We did. So we're gonna talk all about season 44, our favorite overall episode, our favorite host, some of our favorite sketches.
Yes.
Possibly our favorite musical guest. I think we both have like one person in mind. I don't know if it's the same person or not. We're gonna find out.
We're gonna find out right now.
It's suspenseful. But before we start, I'm gonna run through our. Like the list of the hosts and the musical guests that we had throughout the season. Season premiere, Adam Driver and Kanye West. And I'm sure nothing insane happened after that episode.
Nope.
Episode 2, Awkwafina and Travis Scott. Episode 3, Seth Meyers and Paul Simon. Episode 4, Jonah Hill and Maggie Rogers. Episode 5, Liev Schreiber and Lil Wayne. Episode 6, Steve Carell and Ellie Mae. Episode 7, Claire Foy and Anderson .Paak. Episode 8, Jason Momoa and Mumford & Sons. Episode 9, Matt Damon and Mark Ronson with Miley Cyrus. Episode 10, Rachel Brosnahan and Greta Van Fleet. Episode 11, James McAvoy and Meek Mill. Episode 12, Halsey as the host and musical guest. Episode 13, Don Cheadle and Gary Clark Jr. Episode 14, John Mulaney and Thomas Rhett. Episode 15, Idris Elba and Khalid. Episode 16, Sandra Oh and Tame Impala. Episode 17, Kit Harington and Sarah Bareilles. Episode 18, Emma Stone and BTS. Episode 19, Adam Sandler and Shawn Mendes. Episode 20, Emma Thompson and Jonas Brothers. And episode 21, the season finale, Paul Rudd and DJ Khaled.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
Yeah. Now, personally, I'm still a little upset we had both DJ Khaled and Khalid on the same season, because I still find that confusing.
I feel like that's a trap to get, you know, white people to think that they're racist.
Yeah.
The way they just had, you 100%. Confused Khalid with Khaled, you racist, you make me sick.
Yes, exactly. That was a trap.
You fell for my trap.
So, I mean, hearing this list overall, what are your feelings? Is there anybody that pops out at you where you're like, oh, that person was really good?
As far as host goes or musical guests?
Or overall shows or hosts. Who surprised you in a pleasant way? Who disappointed you in an unpleasant way?
Oh, all right. Well, we're going to veer back into negative, but as far as disappointing episodes, I mean, the Awkwafina episode, I wasn't wild about. Jason Momoa episode, he was game, but the episode was lacking.
It was mixed at best.
Yeah.
There was one from the Jason Momoa episode I really liked, which was the Rudolph sketch.
Oh, yeah, the Rudolph sketch was good.
I love that. That was really strong. It took a really cool dark turn at the end when Santa shoots one of his reindeer.
Yeah. That came just took a shotgun out of nowhere. It's like, oh, I knew this day would come someday.
Yeah. That was cool.
And like we said before, the Steve Carell was shocking. Like how, because mm-hmm. I mean, Steve Carell, he's done sketch for years. He's born for this. And like,
he's done a nice job when he's hosted before.
He has, but yeah, this whole episode, I don't know if it was maybe the writers or him. I don't. It was a mix of things. Like nothing in the show really landed that. Well, that strongly.
Yeah, it was a weird thing.
Yeah, and I mean, well, since we're talking about disappointments, I mean, the Emma Stone episode, I thought wasn't. I was kind of surprised. I mean, it had some good material here and there. Like, I really liked the fashion coward sketch. I thought that was the
pants for legs.
Yeah, pants for your legs. And I thought that was a good, but overall, I thought it wasn't her strongest episode.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, because they redid the dorm room poster sketch,
right?
Was just like, it's like, I don't know.
It wasn't as good the second time, but it did have the actress.
It did. Oh, you know what?
I mean, that,
all right, I'll give you that. Yeah.
That was a film segment. I think that was a really strong thing, and I think that was one of the stronger things they did over the course of the season.
That is very true.
So,
and as far as what I liked about the season, the big shocker for me was the Halsey episode.
Uh-huh.
Like that, real because. I mean, I think I'm on record here saying when we heard that Halsey was hosting, we were both like, who?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know if it was a guy or a girl or what. And then I looked it up and I saw that she was a musician.
She was on when Lil Wayne was the musical guest on the Liev Schreiber show.
She was?
She guested in one of his numbers, I believe.
What?
Yeah.
What?
I think we had this discussion during
oh,
the...
Oh, did we?
Let's see.
My memory's fading.
He performed Can't Be Broken with Halsey and then Uproar with Swizz Beatz.
Huh. Well, how about that?
Yeah.
The more you know.
So, she must have made a lot of friends when she was there.
I guess so. But yeah, because like, she's a musician and I looked in her IMDb. She hadn't done much acting except in music videos, and she'd done some voiceover stuff for cartoons. So I was like, oh, this might be a big stinkeroo. I don't know. And then not only was it a great episode, it was probably one of the best episodes of the season, if not the best. Like, she really surprised me because I liked her acting and her jazz comedy chops.
Mm-hmm.
And when she did her musical guesting, her musical performances were pretty legit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she painted while she sang.
Yep.
Who's done that?
I don't know.
Bob Ross didn't do that. He just whispered happy trees and while he was painting. He can't sing and paint.
To be fair, I don't think Bob Ross was ever a musical guest on Saturday Night Live.
Not with that attitude.
And he has been dead for quite some time.
Oh, what? This, wow. All right.
Well, I'm sorry to break it to you, but...
Rest in peace. Thoughts and prayers.
So, I mean, let's...
Well, what about you?
Who did I like? Like you were saying before, Jason Momoa, I thought was good because he had a lot of energy. He was really game.
Right.
You know, it wasn't the strongest show, but I wouldn't mind seeing him come back.
No.
Don Cheadle, I thought, did a nice
job. Oh, yeah, Cheeds.
There were a couple sketches. I know you really loved the sketch where he was like the cockroach who moves in.
Roach X.
Yeah.
That was a damn strong sketch.
That was a good one. I really like the jukebox sketch where they're playing the lollipop song
the
while they're trying
fight.
To have the bar fight.
Yeah, I was kind of iffy on it, but then like at the end when the whole bar just burst out into like a choreographed dance, I was like, all right, you won me over. I like the sketch
fun.
Now.
That was fun. I mean, I'm seeing some weak shows peppered in there, but I think they had more hits than misses.
I would say so.
Yeah, I think it was a decent season for them. I think it was a pretty solid season.
It's a decent overall
for them overall.
All right.
So should we get into it? What category should we do first? Why don't we do musical guest first?
Oh, interesting.
I mean, that's
all right.
You know, it's more of a comedy show, so let's talk about the musical guest.
Okay. I mean, as far as musical guests go, there was actually, I'm looking through it, and there was like more I liked, you know, more than I thought I'd like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of course, Paul Simon. I mean, it's Paul Simon. You can't,
I mean, that's always solid.
That's a solid choice.
He didn't do anything new, but I mean, you know, it's always fun to see Paul Simon.
Yeah, exactly. Who else did I like here? Anderson .Paak, when he was on the Claire Foy episode, I enjoyed him. He's a spirited fella.
I honestly don't remember Anderson .Paak.
He's like a rapper, but he also plays the drums, so he drums while he raps, and I had like a bunch of other people come out with him. It was always a really strong performance.
I'd just have to watch that again because I didn't retain that. I'm not saying I disliked it. I'm just saying I don't remember it.
Okay. So I mean, the Halsey episode, I thought,
yeah,
it was a very strong performance. It wasn't one of my favorites. It was definitely one of my favorites of this season. I don't know if it was the favorite, but it was definitely the Halsey performances definitely won me over. Because like again, I had no idea who she was, but. So this was like my introduction to her, and she was like, "Oh wow, this person's really good." And I'll happily admit it, the BTS performance I thought was
a lot of energy,
a lot of dancing.
I mean, not my personal thing, but I can see the appeal. Yeah, I see why they're driving all the teenage girls nuts.
Yeah, they're just some hoofers who just, you know, cutting a rug and doing 23 skidoos all over the stage.
The choreography was pretty amazing.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, I liked it.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it spoke to the teenage girl in me.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, I'm just going to let that lie.
All right. All right, so what about you? What did you like music-wise?
The real standout for me, and this really surprised me, I mean, like you said, I mean, Paul Simon, it was always great. But I would say my favorite musical guest for the season had to be Lil Wayne.
Whoa!
I know, and I'm not usually like a rap or a hip hop guy, but his second number Uproar with Swizz Beatz, I've like gone back and listened to that and watched that video like a few times, or I've just gotten the urge to hear that again.
My mouth is agape, right? I'm genuinely shocked.
It's a fucking great tune, man.
Huh.
That rocks, and it really. And Lil Wayne is not somebody I've really ever followed before. I knew him mainly like from Chappelle's show sketches, where Dave Chappelle would imitate him.
Wow! I don't know what to say about this.
But Uproar, yeah, very pleasant surprise for me.
You can knock me over with a feather.
I know. I knew that was going to surprise you.
I'm genuinely surprised. Like, whoa! All right. Well, good on you, man. All right, Lil Wayne, you have a new fan.
Yep.
And John Trumbull. Wowee. All right, so that's our take on the musical guest. So as far as, I guess, what do you want to do, sketches?
Sure, let's get into sketches.
Like, what's, you want to go back and forth? You say a sketch, I'll say
sure,
a sketch.
Sure. You know, now what, something I was doing, like, earlier in the season, I didn't keep up with it the way I should have, but I started making, you know, SNL, like, they'll post the sketches on YouTube on Sunday. So I started making a list, like, just a private list of, like, my favorite sketches of season 44.
All right.
So I've got a lot of things. I've got more things from, like, the beginning of the season than towards the end, just because I didn't keep up with it the way I should have. But I had a few things on there. Like, one we've already mentioned, the Rudolph's Big Night Jason Momoa, where Pete Davidson is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. The other reindeer are mocking him. Mm-hmm. And then when Santa picks him to lead the sleigh, he's like, well. Right. And he's giving all the other reindeer
the power grief. Goes to his head.
Yeah. And it ends with Santa shooting Comet.
Yeah.
Because he thinks he's rabid.
Right.
Exactly. Because Pete Davidson made him suck on his nose.
Yeah.
It makes sense in context.
Yeah. That it sounded odd when he said it. I'll admit that. But when you watch the sketch, it makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a pretty... I mean, I'm surprised they put that to... I guess I am surprised... They put that towards the end, but not really, because I mean,
it takes a turn.
It does.
So I'm not surprised it was in the back half of the show. I think that was a good place for it to live.
Yeah, you don't want to start a show with shooting a reindeer.
Yeah, it was very funny, but I think it is more of a because it's a more of an offbeat sketch.
Yeah,
you want to put it later in the show.
Fair enough.
Let's see. Why don't you do one? I just named one.
One of my favorites from the Adam Sandler episode, the Romano Tours.
That was a great one.
That was a solid sketch. Mm-hmm. Basically, it was a play on the Pirelli Tours. Mm-hmm. I think it's called Pirelli Tours, something like that. But like, they show commercials on TV all the time where, you know, they just do tours of Italy and whatnot for people of a certain age. And so with this one, Adam Sandler, he runs the Pirelli Tours, and he was saying, you know, enjoy the Pirelli Tours, come enjoy it, but just remember that when you go to Italy, it won't fix all your problems. If you're miserable at home, you'll still be the same miserable person you were in Italy.
Yeah.
Because like, I can't emphasize it enough, because people go on vacation thinking it'll change their life and
solve their problems.
Solve their problems, and it will not. It can't solve the deep-seated problems you have within you. And I thought that was a great turn, because I did not see that turn coming, and I was like, oh, wow, I totally agree with that, that sentiment, too.
That was a good one.
That was
a really good one.
That was a solid sketch.
Let's see. This is one you've probably forgotten. This was from the James McAvoy episode, Mr. Tumnus.
Oh, yeah.
The Chronicles of Narnia, where Cicely Strong and Adie and Kate McKinnon, they're all teen... Well, no, they're now adult women who had crushes on James McAvoy's character in the Chronicles of Narnia movie, right. Mr. Tumnus, right, who's like the half man, half...
Half goat.
He's like half fawn, I think.
Fawn? Some hoofed animal.
And then they discover, to their horror, that he is actually gay. I enjoyed that because I read those books as a kid, and I enjoyed that movie at the time. So
it like hit you in a certain way, like
it did. I did not have a teen crush on Mr. Tumnus, but
so you claim.
So I claim, but I thought it was very amusing, and I remember you didn't quite get it because you didn't have the context for it.
Yeah.
So you were just like, but what? Like,
I mean, I kind of got it. I was like, all right, I see what they're. I get the context, but I was like, if it didn't hit me in the same way it hit you, because like I didn't read those books, right? But in the same ways, some like this next sketch that it hit me in a certain spot, because I think you know what I'm going to talk about.
Oh, do I know?
Okay. Do you know?
Oh, do I have to like get straight and listen to Ratitude?
Yeah, you do. Hot dog,
Weezer,
the Matt Damon. I cannot emphasize enough how when this sketch came on, it hit me so hard.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally like they made a sketch for me. Like, because, I mean, I am on, like, Team Leslie. Basically, who don't know, it's from the Matt Damon episode, the Christmas episode. And it's, was it Matt Damon and Cicely Strong? And they're all a bunch of people getting together for, like, a Christmas dinner.
Yeah, it was like neighbors.
Neighbors meeting, and Leslie Jones is there, too. And they have an iPod on shuffle playing music. And then, iPod? Do people still have iPods?
Sure.
Okay. And so so the new song that comes through the iPod is a Weezer's version of Africa. And that
Which went viral a few months ago.
And that begins a heated debate between Matt Damon and Leslie Jones as to, like...
The merits of Weezer.
Exactly.
Like, are they still good? Did they stop being good after Pinkerton?
Yes.
And we ended up having this debate on the show ourselves. We talked about Weezer for probably a good 20 minutes.
It took a life of its own. Podcast. I mean, my God. It was. And we had that debate here.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm firmly in the pocket of, like, the first two Weezer albums were classic. Like, I'd go so far as to say the Blue album is a perfect album, I think. I mean, well...
I wouldn't fight you hard on that.
I think it's... Yeah. I mean, the second track, No One Else, is okay, but it's that's nitpicking. But, like... yeah, I said it. But, I mean, as far as the Blue album goes, it's perfect, if not damn near perfect.
Yeah.
And after that and Pinkerton, like, all their albums that were okay at best.
Yeah.
So, like, this sketch, when I was just like, Leslie's saying everything I've said.
Oh, I get it. You're dumb.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why don't you grow up and listen to Ratitude?
Yeah.
Pacific Daydream. Like, oh my God. It just... I mean, I understand a lot of America isn't going to get that sketch because I'm...
It was so specific. It was so individual to Weezer fans. But,
yes.
I mean, but I love that because, like, if it hits you... The way it's supposed to hit you, it's going to hit you all the harder because of that.
Yeah. And it really hit me. So, like,
it hit both of us really hard because we had enough background to really get that. So.
Oh, we did.
that would definitely be in, I think, my top three of the season.
I wouldn't fight you on that.
Yeah. That was a really strong sketch, really funny. And you know that just started with, like, two of the writers talking about Weezer and getting into a debate. And you know that they're fans because it was just too specific for it not to be. And I was very impressed with Leslie in it. She was really good. This sketch used her really well. She played it really well.
Right.
And we found out later, because like there are a few online pieces about it. Like Leslie Jones, personally, not a Weezer fan, doesn't really know anything about him. Not too shocking. It's just not her thing.
Yeah.
But she made an effort to like learn about it to so she seemed like she knew what she was talking about.
Absolutely. I feel like most of America was like the other people in that sketch were like, oh, is Weezer still a thing?
Yeah.
And then I think Cecily Strong mentioned, oh, you know who I like? I like that band Yellow Card.
Right. Right.
And then I think Matt Damon's like said like, you know, no offense, but drink my blood.
Yes. Yeah. I like it was at one point Matt Damon's just like, oh, I'm ride or die, and Cecily just goes, for Weezer? And it was just a perfect read on it. She's just like, what, this is the thing you're going to the man for? Really? Yeah, really?
A lot of people don't get it, but I get it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right, so what's another one you got up your sleeve?
Let's see, what else do I have? This is a strong one. This is from earlier in the season that you might have forgotten about. The War in Words.
Yes, I wrote
Claire
that down.
Foy Anderson .Paak episode. This was sort of a follow-up to another sketch they'd done. Or was it done on the Martin Short, Maya Rudolph show?
Yes, Martin Short, Maya Rudolph sketch.
Okay, so they didn't redo that one on SNL.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You're the one that told me about it.
Right, and that was one from the Civil War era. This one was in World War One we had Mikey Day as a soldier in World War One. He's writing letters home.
Right.
And his wife is very oblivious. He's like describing the horrors of war, and she just replies, "Sounds dreadful." Sincerely. and then she keeps dropping in like out of context things, and we find out she's being accused of some crime. And we have Keenan as a black man who's living in their house for some reason. We never find out why. At one point, Keenan is writing him, and at the very end, we find out that she is joined up the German army.
Yeah, that was weird. It was an odd one. It was like, this is going all over the place.
But it was very, very funny, and I like that a lot. I wouldn't mind seeing them revisit this one in some form next season.
I have a feeling they will. Like, I'd be surprised if they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I think it just, like, I mean, especially the Claire Foy episode wasn't that strong an episode, but like that
this one, is about the only thing I think I remember from the Claire Foy episode.
Yeah, honestly. I mean, this was definitely the strongest one out of that episode. So I feel like since it resonated so much with the audience, they're definitely going to bring it back. It's just a matter of when. What else do we... Oh, we could talk about this. One of my favorites is the from the Idris Elba episode, the Can I Play That?
That was a good one. That just missed my list. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, for those who don't know, it's a game show called Can I Play That, where they have actors on, and the guest host mentions roles, and the actors have to say if they can play it. But the show is produced by Twitter, so... Yeah, I mean, like, not every actor can play. According to Twitter, every actor can play every part.
Yeah, because like, we're in a very delicate time politically.
Yes.
Where we, you know, if you're casting a character of a certain race, should you only cast of somebody from that exact background?
Right.
Like, I mean, if you're casting somebody who's half black as somebody who's fully black, is that okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Should you get a fully black person or? Yeah. You know, what?
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I rewatched that sketch this morning, and one of the questions was like, a blind person. And then I think Idris said, oh, I can play that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Keenan, the host, he was like, oh, so the Lord took away the person's sight, and you want to take their jobs. Interest. You know, because like, that is something that people on Twitter would say.
Didn't they have a Scarlett Johansson reference in there, too?
I think so. Yeah, I believe so. Like,
because, I mean, she's somebody who's gotten a lot of flack, because she was set to play... somebody in transition, like going from
female
to male or vice versa. I forget. I think it was like a real life person, and then she was supposed to do it. And then she also did the
Ghost in the Shell.
The Ghost in the Shell movie.
That probably started.
She was
off
playing a character who in the original anime was Asian.
Right.
And then
Scarlett Johansson is not.
Very definitely not Asian.
Johansson isn't an Asian name? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, that is what I am telling you.
Huh.
Yes.
All right.
So,
and of course, when Emma Stone played like she
was Hawaiian or like a quarter Hawaiian in the Cameron Crowe movie. Yeah, Aloha.
And
thank you.
That caused a big dust up. I mean, I do like sketches like this because, I mean, as we all know, like Saturday Night Live is for the most part, it's like pretty liberal, I guess. It's for liberal audiences.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I mean, you of course, they take shots at the conservative people and conservative networks, but, you know, once in a while, they do take shots at their own people, like the liberal folks and whatnot.
And there's certainly comedic ground to be mined in like liberal hypocrisy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And stuff like that, where people like they espouse these ideals, but they don't necessarily always live up to them in real life.
Yeah, exactly. So like when they, you know, when they take the wind out of liberal sails, I'm like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm,
I'm always for that. It's just to show that, like, maybe don't take ourselves too seriously.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, that was a good one. We're not above mocking.
And we had the little thing at the end where it was like, oh, the part is James Bond, and Idris Elba goes, I can play that, and Keenan just goes, can you though? Can you?
I have a feeling that whole sketch was written because of that whole dust up.
It could be because I mean that was a whole debate in itself. People were saying like Idris Elba should be James Bond. Like the internet has been on this for probably at least 5 years now.
Yeah, it's been ongoing,
and
I don't think we're any closer to any decision.
Well, I mean, because Daniel Craig isn't done yet.
Oh,
so, right. I mean, I think that's a big reason why.
Oh, okay. Oh, he's still doing that?
He's currently shooting what's supposed to be his last Bond movie right now.
Oh, okay.
And he's getting injured, so it's delaying the filming. And
whew. Oh, boy. All right. Godspeed, Daniel.
So, yeah.
All right. So, yeah, what else you got there?
What else we got? Let's see. Them Trumps. That was they came back and they did a second Them Trumps.
It's just
a quick little bit.
Yeah.
Just what if Donald Trump and his family were black? And it basically ends with him being arrested.
Yeah. Like, almost immediately.
Almost immediately. And he's like, yeah, I saw that coming.
I just like it because they're just so quick and they just it's just in and out.
It's like a minute and a half.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
It just a lot of fun. I wouldn't mind seeing them revisit this.
Yeah. That's like one of those sketches, like, it's hard for it to get old just because it's so quick. It doesn't have time to get old.
Yeah, yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So another sketch I like. Oh, we could say it's from the Sandra Oh episode, the Checks.
Checks.
Basically, it's a pre-tape where they talk about you know, how everybody uses apps now to pay each other, like Venmo and whatnot.
Right.
It's like, well, you know, they want you to go back to using checks. And then they...
Because they're so much more dramatic.
Yeah, it's like if you want to write a check out to... some boy who you don't want them to see their daughter anymore or your daughter.
I trust this will be sufficient.
Yes.
Yeah. Checks.
You scribble your signature with flourish.
Yes.
And just, you know, checks.
Yeah. That was a solid one. I haven't rewatched that one, but I have fond memories of that one.
If you want to silence the pool boy, you write him a check. I dug that one.
That was a good one. There were a couple ones from the Liev Schreiber episode. That I finally remembered. There was the Invest twins. Do you remember them?
Oh, yeah. I just watched that.
Newscast where there are two investing twins, but Cecily Strong, her newscaster, she flubs the intro and she accidentally says incest twins. So, of course, everything they say from then on has a double meaning to it.
Yes.
Where they're talking about finishing each other off and
and then
all that.
And then one point they bring in their sister.
And then their grandmother.
Yeah.
And it's heinous, but it's very, very funny.
Yeah, she's like, oh, sometimes I gotta get in between these two when they're going at it. And, you know, sometimes...
I know they're just gonna shove it down my throat.
Yeah, so I have to take it on the chin.
Yeah.
Woo!
Very funny, it's juvenile, but damn it, it works.
Yeah, it works. Speaking of juvenile... another sketch I liked from the Rachel Brosnahan episode, the earthquake news, when it was an earthquake happening at the Social Security building, and like it was a bunch of people who had to change their names, and then they just talk about all the names.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that. Like, I only vaguely remember
that. There
was
like a little kid whose name was Holden Two Dicks. It's like, oh, no, Kurt, kids, don't worry. Little Holden Two Dicks is here. And it's just like a bunch of like wacky names.
Holding two dicks.
I know. We're children. We're children. Yeah. So that was one of my favorites. And now you mentioned it before. The Roach X commercial from the Don Cheadle episode. That was a strong sketch.
You really loved that one.
I really liked it just because it took that really dark, dramatic turn. And because Cheadle's a dramatic actor, he's able to sell it. And I really like that one.
And he's hideously killed by the poison at the end, and he sleeps with the husband's wife.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, go watch it, guys. But it's basically like it starts off as a roach commercial for roach spray, and you know, like in those old commercials in the 80s where they have like a guy who's obviously a man dressed up in a roach costume, and like, you know, don't you hate it when these roaches come into your house and you know, play house guest, and then it's just roaches kind of sound, you know, in the people's house. And then suddenly the roach is cozying up to the man's wife and, you know, sort of being a surrogate father to the kids. And, you know, it's driving the man crazy. So he's like, he gets a can of spray and kills him in a very dramatic fashion.
Yeah.
It takes a dark turn, but it's funny. Trust me.
Yeah, it's very funny. It's very, very funny.
Good. Let's see what else we got.
Let's see. Another weird one from the Leah Schreiber episode was the House Hunters.
That was that
one was so wonderfully absurd.
Yeah,
where they're looking at the split level ranch, and then they get this Hidden Valley ranch where it's just a packet of salad dressing.
Yeah, I mean that kind of came around.
And don't forget his man cave.
Oh yes, of course. And that kind of came around again with the Chopped sketch.
Mm-hmm.
From which episode? Oh, the Emma Thompson episode.
Yeah, huh?
Where they just said like a kind of a bunch of what would you call it?
Non sequitur.
Yeah, non sequitur. It's almost kind of like airplane, Naked Gun esque in mm-hmm. a little way.
Some Zucker Brothers.
Yes,
right. Some Zucker Abrams Zucker absurdity.
Yes, very much so. And like you said, and like that one story. It's like, oh, you got to keep the kid. It's mm-hmm. like, yes, I got to keep the kid. By kid, of course, I mean a baby goat. And
yes.
I was like, oh, that's who did it.
Yeah.
Wordplay.
Yes.
But yeah, that was I really liked that one, too.
Mm-hmm.
Good
mm-hmm.
one. And let's see what else we got here. Oh, another one I liked. The R. Kelly Cold Open.
Yeah, I liked that. I liked that
one a lot. Like, it was... because, I mean, at the time, it's the thing everybody was talking about. This big
the R. Kelly interview. Yeah.
Where he just breaks down in front of Gayle King. And it's a topic that was very delicate. It still is. That was. It still is very delicate. And they mm-hmm. kind of walked that line where they were able to sort of find the funny in it just by mocking how, you know, not very bright R. Kelly is.
I liked him, like, being very surprised that there weren't hidden microphones or cameras in
something. Yeah.
And I liked when when Keenan had to say live from New York, he, like, turns away from the camera
yes.
because that's where he thought the hidden camera was, and they're like, no, 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 you have to face this way.
Yeah, that was a good.
That was good. I liked them getting a little meta with that.
Yeah, yeah, I liked that very much. And another one I think we mentioned before, the Fashion Coward.
Yes,
sketch from the Emma Stone episode.
Yes, where you're knocked out by the gas, and then you're carried around the store, and they just yeah. pick things out for you.
Yeah,
and honestly, that sounds pretty good to me. I do not enjoy shopping.
You don't.
So
you're so fashion forward.
No.
It's
nice of you to say so, but so no.
Let's try to be nice.
No.
But yeah, but for those who don't know, it's pre-taped sketch. It's basically for people who aren't, you know, fashion savvy, who just like plain shirts, mm-hmm. plain, you know, jeans for the legs.
Yes.
It's just like people who are afraid to do anything, you know, crazy with their clothes, like wear prints or something.
And speaking of absurd products that have a need in the marketplace, this is one from the Rachel Brosnahan, Greta Van Fleet episode.
Oh, yeah.
Leave Me Alone.
I wrote that down, too.
Which was, this was a pre-tape, a fake ad for women who are on vacation. They don't want to be bothered by strange men trying to strike up conversations with
yes.
them. So it's a fake urn, and you can pretend that you're scattering a loved one's ashes.
Right.
And they will leave a radius of at least 50 feet, so they're away from the zone where they could have ashes blown into them.
I see that working.
Yeah.
I see that actually working, because I don't want to be... Yeah, dudes don't want to be around a woman with an urn.
No.
That's...
No, I mean, that's an awkward moment.
Very much so.
You don't want to be a part of that. You're going to hightail it out of there very quickly.
Yeah.
And they also, at the end, they introduce the back spikes for...
Right.
When you're squeezing past a woman in a crowded space, and then there's no reason to put your hand on the small of her back.
There's no reason, but dudes do it, and maybe they won't do it if they'll get a spike through the palm.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
But yeah, I really dug the Leave Me Alone.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Here's one that this goes all the way back to the first episode.
Ooh, Adam Driver.
I don't know if you remember this one. The 80s party. You remember that? It's a pre-tape?
Give me a little more.
All right, so it's basically a pre-tape. It's called 80s Party.
Was it talking about like all the heinous stuff they did, and like all the places they go to later in life?
Yes, that was
okay.
It.
Yeah,
so
I do remember this.
Basically like... like a college party in the 80s, and if you look, it's very, you know, Animal House-y.
Yeah.
And then it just shows like all the kids at the party, you know, doing crazy stuff, and then it cuts to text over them saying what they're doing now, like, oh, he's, you know, he's wanted for embezzlement, or he has no recollection that this happened when he's you know, in front of a Senate hearing or something like that. I mean, of course, it's all nods to the Kavanaugh hearing,
right? Which was all in the news.
All in the news.
In September when SNL premiered this season.
Right, right. But I thought it was like a funny way to take it, where you mm-hmm. just sort of show them being all crazy 80s, and then, you know, a quick nod to what they're doing now and how they're like totally... Like, no, they're totally like kind of not saying any of this happened.
And again, it's also a an interesting insight into like where we are now, where it's very common for somebody in the news or in the public eye to have something from their past resurface.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God, they did that heinous thing 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, sometimes I think it's justified with, I think certainly with like someone like Brett Kavanaugh,
yeah, yeah.
But it's also taken to an absurd degree with someone like, say, James Gunn,
I would say. Yeah.
Where he made some tweets. He didn't make action. He didn't commit these acts, but he made some tasteless jokes,
I
would say. And then he ends up losing his job for that. I mean, it's just, and it's like, well, yeah, somebody's supposed to be like morally pure for all of time, like retroactively. I mean, it's an interesting question.
That's why I haven't done anything at all. In my youth or now.
Yes. There is something to be said for being a repressed nerd.
Thank you.
You don't get into as much trouble with this stuff.
That's why I'm a recluse.
Yep.
All right.
Let's see. I think those are most of my strong ones, because like some of the other things I want to talk about when we're talking about our favorite shows or our favorite hosts.
So. Okay. We'll end it on this then. I think.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, the one I thought was the strongest guy I really liked from the John Mulaney episode. What's that name?
What's that name?
I've watched this episode. I've watched this sketch numerous times, and it's still.
I rewatched that one this morning in preparation for this episode. Still made me laugh out loud.
I mean, it's all Hader making this thing go.
Okay, you cast Bill Hader as a game show host. That right there. That you're halfway there,
yeah.
At least, if not 75%. I mean, because. He was just put on this earth to play game show hosts in sketches.
Very much so. I mean, for those that don't know, the sketch What's That Name is basically this game show host, and he, you know, he asks questions to the contestants about like, oh, what's the name of this? What's the name of this celebrity? And then they know it. And then what's the name of this celebrity? Then they know it. And then they bring somebody that's in the contestant's life, like saying, oh, this is your best friend's girlfriend. What's her name?
Of 4 years. You've sat next to her at numerous events.
What's
her name?
And he's like, Missy?
Karen. Ah.
So the whole show is basically...
Jim, I'm sorry. Oh, interesting you chose to apologize to him. And it's Bill Hader as the host just like turning the screws the whole sketch. And... I enjoy this all the more because I learned the backstory behind this sketch where he's like, where Bill Hader's character is this millionaire who tracks down these people that he finds heinous, and he deliberately ambushes them via a game show to expose them as horrible people.
I'd do the same thing with my money if I could.
Yeah, absolutely. I was like, what do you want from all of this? In a word, chaos.
That was such a good delivery. My God.
Genius. And just... And there was like another line where he just like took a little pause where he didn't have to. Hater's a gem.
Yeah,
love that man.
It's like, oh, what's the name of your friend's wives? Oh, those guys, they don't have wives. I roll with a crew of problematic bachelors, and we call ourselves
the squad.
The problem. I don't know why the term problematic bachelors makes me laugh.
It was a
great sketch. I thought it might be the best. I think it is the best.
I think that would be my best of the season too.
It was a strong sketch.
A strong sketch. Well, I mean, since we're talking about that, I will do another one from the John Mulaney episode.
Hit me.
Cha-Cha Slide.
Oh, Cha-Cha Slide. I didn't know where they were going to go with that at first. I was like, oh, he's the only white guy at a black wedding.
Yeah.
But then it took this turn I didn't see coming, and I'm like, oh, all right.
Yeah, he's there with his girlfriend, Ego Nwadum, and he's very nervous because he's met no one from her family, and he's an awkward guy. He's like I think he says an insurance salesman from Indianapolis or something like that. So he's very out of place.
Right.
And then he turns out to know most of the people there, and he knows
the dance moves too,
and they're most of the sketch they're dancing the Cha Cha Slide, and and they have other absurd moves peppered in there.
Yeah, church fans are involved somehow. Yeah,
church
some point.
Fans,
and he's like, "Oh yeah, I have an extra one if you want it."
Yeah, and you know they have to do the Beyonce, so he's like turning the hand around like the ring, and they're doing the little Beyonce move from what was that song? I'm blanking on the name of it.
The
Beyonce song, though.
Oh, Put a Ring on It?
Yeah.
Lady, all single ladies?
Yes, single ladies. You know, they're doing that little dance move.
Yeah, a little shimmy,
doing the arm thing. And Leslie Jones comes over as like as Ego's aunt, and he's like, oh, how's that foot doing? Oh, you know, it's doing better. I put the cream on. Oh, I'm going to pray on it. And I mean, just John Mulaney saying, oh, I'm going to pray on it.
Yeah. And he mentioned like, oh, yeah, I saw this group at the Tom Joyner cruise.
Yeah.
I was like, who told you about Tom Joyner? Oh, my God.
And they were watching like some show on Stars.
Power, probably, or
something like that.
Yeah, it's like that is strictly black people. Yeah. Who told you about this?
It was funny.
I agree. That was a great sketch. I was like, all right.
That was a great sketch.
That hit me. I liked it.
So yeah. So
what were you gonna say?
Well, I was gonna segue into like our favorite hosts or our favorite overall shows.
All right, let's do it.
So I don't think it would be a shock to say that John Mulaney, my favorite overall host of the season. I thought his show was the strongest.
Oh, okay.
Overall.
Because
we had what's that name? We had the Cha-Cha Slide. And it's John Mulaney. He's one of the best stand-ups working today. So, of course, the monologue was gold.
Right, that's true.
So, I think that was probably the strongest overall show. And I really want to see John Mulaney come back and host a third time.
I'm sure he will. I mean, the John Mulaney episode, I really dug.
And, we also had, Bodega Bathroom.
Oh, of course.
The semi-follow-up to Diner Lobster, which I think I might like a little better than Diner Lobster, personally. But
The Bodega Bathroom?
Mm-hmm.
I got to watch them both again, but I could see that. I mean, it definitely went... I mean, the sets on that thing, my God.
Technically, it's a very impressive sketch, but it's also just impressive in its absurdity.
Yeah, they built a giant toilet and then had to, like, lift and rise over.
We have Cecily and Melissa in roach costumes, like dancer roach dresses.
Yeah.
We had... what was Keenan? He was like a cat, I think.
Yes, he was a bodega cat.
He was a bodega cat, and they went like all Willy Wonka with it, where Pete Davidson wins the bodega at the end and decides to make a new life for himself as a bodega owner.
Yeah, I mean oof.
Very, very funny.
Yeah, no, John Mulaney.
Very out there.
John Mulaney, I thought, was a great host. Who else do I think? Don Cheadle, I liked as a host.
Don Cheadle
too.
Was really good.
He had some good stuff. Matt Damon, I liked as a host.
Matt Damon was good.
I mean, I thought his episode was pretty strong, but I mean, as far as episodes go, I think my favorite, this might shock you. This might surprise you.
I'm ready to be shocked. I'm poised.
I was a big fan of the Halsey episode. I think that was a really
strong episode. It seems like you were, yes.
I really was. I mean, because that one, that had them Trumps,
mm-hmm.
that had the that sketch with the state meeting about talking about being in blackface.
Oh, that was great.
Right?
I've forgotten that one.
That was in there.
That was really good.
Also had the parents calling their
I like
son.
That one. That's the main one I remember from the Halsey
had the
episode.
Women of Congress, which was like a Charlie's Angels take.
That was pretty good.
First time we saw Nico Slopkin and Bree Bacardi in the Weekend Update.
The Instagram couple?
Instagram couple, and the guy who just bought a boat was in there, too.
Okay.
Melissa Villaseñor did her Lady Gaga impression.
For the Melissa Monsters.
Yeah, Melissa Monsters. It had the Black History presentation sketch where it's Kyle and Beck were talking over all the black cast members during Black History Month.
All right.
And Halsey's performances I thought were really good too. Because, I mean, it's one of the, this is one of the episodes where I like the musical performances and most of the sketches.
You make a really strong case for that episode. I'm going to have to revisit more of those sketches.
Yeah. Oh, and it had Maurice, the one where Keenan played the dad that was doing like stuff like video cam, webcam stuff.
Oh, that was a good sketch.
Yeah,
that was a good sketch.
So, I mean, overall, as a sketch as a whole, I think that really surprised me because, like I said, I had no idea who Halsey was. And by the end of that sketch, I was like, wow, all right, I stand corrected. You won me over, Halsey.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You make a great case for that. I like
Thank you. I have charts and everything right here. I go hard.
All right. So,
but So.
We've covered I think most of the high points. Of the season. Like overall, it was what surprised you the most this season? Like which cast members do you think really brought it?
As cast members, I mean I've said it before, but I mean Heidi Gardner, I really think she's really coming to her own. Like she hit the ground running and like. I like how the show is giving her a chance to like really kind of shine more and more.
Yeah.
Like I could see her being like the next big kind of star, SNL star, I guess.
One of the feature anchors of the show.
Yeah, like the same way Kristen Wiig was and Kate McKinnon before her. Like it seems like they're kind of grooming her to be the next big the front man of the band.
I really want to see both Heidi and Chris Redd move up from featured players to regular cast members.
I think they definitely deserve it.
I think they've both earned their spots
there. I agree.
You know, Ego, I wouldn't mind. I want her to stick around.
Yeah, I like her.
I think, you know, maybe keep her as a featured player for another season, because we need to see a little more of her.
Right.
She didn't get as many opportunities as some of the other people, which is fairly typical for the new cast members.
She got a good chunk, but, though. She's getting there.
She was getting more by the end of the season. So, yeah it's always a pleasant surprise to see her.
Right.
Get a prominent role in the sketch. So.
Absolutely. And another surprise that kind of shocked me about the season is, because, I mean, I know we've talked about before, like when we first started this podcast, we were very kind of down on Leslie Jones and her as an actor. But, like, I'm happy to say she's greatly improved.
Mm-hmm.
And same goes for Pete Davidson, too. I mean, they're both two, you know, comedians mm-hmm. who have a big background in comedy who, as far as I know, haven't done much sketch comedy, and you know, they were definitely very rocky when they first started out, but like their start, like towards the end of this season, they're definitely kind of coming to their own, and they're becoming more and more capable.
I think the show has learned how to utilize them both better,
right,
and to write to them and use them well. Leslie, I thought, had a pretty strong season. Like using her as Whoopi Goldberg in a View parody.
Yes.
That's genius.
Why didn't they do this earlier?
That's so right.
They should have done this years ago.
She was in two of my favorites of the season, in the House Hunters with Liev Schreiber.
Oh, and the Weezer sketch?
And the Weezer sketch. She did a great job in both.
Oh, you're just dumb.
Those were both great. Pete did... another one of my absolute favorite things. That this would probably be in my top three. I didn't mention this before, but this was in the Rachel Brosnahan, Greta Van Fleet episode, where he comes on Weekend Update with John Mulaney, and they just talk about the Clint Eastwood movie, The Mule. I rewatched that this morning, and it's still hilarious. And I'd forgotten that this happens. It happened literally the week after Pete Davidson threatened suicide on Instagram.
Yeah.
So he comes on and he's like, I want to talk about something really important in my life. The Clint Eastwood movie, The Mule. And it's all the funnier that he's talking about something this trivial after this major life event and this crisis in his life.
Yeah.
And he just comes on and he's talking about The Mule with John Mulaney.
It was,
and they're like, we saw this when it was opening, and we realized it was a superhero movie for 90-year-olds, and Clint Eastwood has two threesomes. There's two threesomes. And
I'll admit, like, after hearing that sketch, I was like, maybe I should watch The Mule.
Yes.
I had no interest in watching The Mule before. After that, I was like,
If they come
two
out,
threesomes, you say.
If they come out with a Blu-ray of The Mule with a commentary track by Pete Davidson and John Mulaney, I would buy that.
It's the least they could do for them.
Yeah. Or even just have it as a separate downloadable track.
I mean...
That is all I want. That is all I want out of life.
They're leaving money on the table if they don't do that.
Absolutely.
Money on the table.
Pete, John, if you or any of your people are listening to this, please make this happen.
Yes.
I want a full commentary track by YouTube. That is the only circumstance in which I will watch The Mule.
That's all we want out of life. And as far as acting goes, Pete is getting more and more like a better actor. Like another sketch that I forgot to mention that's in the Halsey episode. The final sketch, the Riverdale episode, where they
where he's the corpse.
Yeah, he's a corpse and he's like flailing about on the table.
Right.
But like he's kind of talking in this like
he's overly British.
Yeah, this British accent. And he's like, the way he was acting, was like, oh wow, He's trying here. He's getting there. He's getting better. So and you know, that's something we couldn't have said a couple years ago, because they were both, you know, Leslie and Pete were very green when they came in. But now they're like, all right, you guys are okay.
Yeah. I'm looking at the other cast members we got here. We got do we want to run through them and maybe talk about each person in turn a bit?
Oh, you want to do one by one, or do
we could? We did this our opening episode of the season, so
we did. All right,
we did.
All right,
we could revisit it.
Oh wow!
So let's see. All right. Well, we already talked about Pete and Leslie a bit, so we'll skip them. Next, we have Beck Bennett.
I mean, Beck's he's getting all right. He's all right.
Yeah, he's hit and miss for me. I love him when he plays Mitch McConnell.
Yeah,
just. Something about his face is just very suited for playing Mitch McConnell, and the makeup job on him is great.
Right.
And just so I just see him, and he's like doing this thing with his neck where his chin just sort of vanishes into his neck. He just visually, his Mitch McConnell makes me laugh.
Yeah, and there's actually
a good impression.
There's actually one thing, I don't know if I still don't know if I like it or not, but when he was on the Seth Meyers episode, and he did that Louisiana liberal talk show.
Oh, yeah, the Louisiana Lanagape.
Yeah, like he did this like over the top, you know, like exaggerated Louisiana impression. And it was
the Cajun accent.
Yeah. And it was like, you know, how y'all doing now? How y'all, y'all, y'all?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it was, I'm not even making it. He did exactly like that. And it was just so over the top. I was like, I don't know if I liked it or, I don't know. Like, I think I'm with you. Like, I'm hot and cold on Beck. I'm like,
yeah, Beck and Kyle Mooney, they're both kind of hit and miss for me. I mean, sometimes I love them. Sometimes I'm just like, oh, well, that is the thing that you did.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that, with Mooney, he's with me, he's more missed than hit. Like, I'm like,
yeah, I think
like,
same.
If, like, if this was his final season, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, if Beck and Kyle left at this point, they've been on the show for, I think, 5 or 6 years at this point. I think they've made their mark on the show.
Yeah.
I don't know how much more they have to give to the show, but yeah, we'll see.
If they left, I'd be okay with it.
If they left, I'd be okay with it. If they stayed on for another year, I'd just be like, okay, fine. You know?
That's pretty much
it. They don't actively offend me.
Yeah.
You know?
That's glowing praise.
I know.
Beck and Kyle, they won't actively offend you.
Let's see. Next we have A.D. Bryant.
A.D.'s good. She's solid. Mm-hmm. You know, I think she's just a good, solid performer. She hasn't really done too much to, like, really stand out, I don't think.
She hasn't blown me away a whole lot. I think her Weekend Update character, the girl giving the travel itineraries or whatever you call it, I thought that was pretty good. She hasn't blown me away in a big, big way this season.
Yeah,
so.
I'm the same way.
And
how long has she been on? Seems like a little bit longer than five. But.
Let me look her
I didn't mean to throw a monkey.
She began in season 38, so I guess this was her sixth season, if I'm counting correctly.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right.
2012 to present. I don't know if that's... I'm looking at her Wikipedia right now. I don't know if that's the beginning of her comedy career or the beginning of her SNL career.
Okay. So, all right, well, I mean, either way, I think she's good. She's, like, a solid performer. She doesn't, you know... Like, everything she's out, she's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I like her a little bit more than Beck and Kyle.
And, you know, she's got her own show now, so yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if she ended up leaving, but it does seem like she's sticking with SNL for the time being.
I think so, because, I mean, somebody else has their own show coming up, too.
Mr. Kenan Thompson,
we can get into that.
Well, I mean, he's got a show. I'm forgetting the name of it, but it's like a sitcom. He's like the...
Like, everything's coming up Kenan.
Yeah,
Kenan and Pals.
Let me see if I can find it. Right.
But yeah, I mean, he's been on the show like for eons.
Yeah,
I think like we mentioned on an episode like when Kenan was on.
Yeah,
like
the kids who were born during Kenan's first season are now driving.
That is a fact.
He's been on the show for eons. So I. You know, he's a good performer, but I would not be sorry to see him go. He joined the cast in 2003. So he was the first SNL cast member to be born after SNL's premiere in 1975.
Okay, wow.
And,
yeah, so if somebody was born when he was on, that person would be like 16 now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The math.
He was a featured player for the 29th and 30th seasons, and SNL just completed season 44. So... He broke the previous record by the longest cast member by Daryl Hammond. Yeah. And it's a long time. And I just don't know how much more he has to give to the show.
I mean, I agree with you. But at the same time, people love him on the show. People feel like he's integral to the show. Like
his upcoming show, by the way, is called The Kenan Show.
I wasn't too far. Kenan and Pals. That was close.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's about right. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's... I mean, I do enjoy. I mean, when Kenan was first on, I wasn't that wild about him. He's another character. He kind of won me over.
He grew on you.
He grew on me. I was like, nah, all right. Now, once I kind of got what he was doing, like I dug it.
Yeah.
And I dig it. And yeah, if he did leave, it would be a bummer. But I mean, at the same time, he's been on 16 years. I mean,
yeah.
Nothing golden lasts forever.
And I mean, yeah. But also, part of me wouldn't mind seeing him move on, just so. Because then you know, like somebody like Chris Redd would have more opportunities.
That's very
on the
true.
Show.
Yeah,
he's like Chris Redd. He also does a nice Kanye.
Yeah,
and
he's
like,
just a good overall performer too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like he hits some good comedic beats.
Yeah, Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's see. Next, we've got two guys who are, I think of them as kind of a double act, Mikey Day and Alex Moffat.
Dan Moffat.
Yeah. We used to mock these guys because they started around the same time, and we had fun with them because they were like two anonymous white guys.
Yes.
And we said that they were interchangeable, and
indeed,
Mikey Moffat and Alex Day. Mm-hmm. But they've both really grown on me. I like them.
Yeah.
I think they do a lot of solid stuff. Mikey Day, like the Warren Words sketch.
Yeah.
I mean, that was great. Mikey Day is very good at playing incredulous.
Yes.
And,
that's a good point.
And I like the two of them as the Trump sons a lot. Whenever they pop up, they've really developed those characters nicely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Moffat's really grown on me. Mm-hmm. Because like he's good at Eric Trump. He's good as, what else he's done? A guy who owns a boat, who just bought a boat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's good at playing, like, I guess, douchey frat bro type of characters. And he's only did it once, but I really like that character, the film critic that's on LSD or something like that, Weekend Update.
Oh, Keenan, you still believe in time.
Yeah, like the way he delivered.
I don't know why I had him addressing Keenan, because it wasn't addressing Keenan, but whatever. He's on LSD.
Yeah, but like the way he like delivers his lines like that, like mm-hmm. I really get a kick out of him. Like I'd like to see him stay on a little bit longer.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure he will. I'm sure him and Mikey aren't going to go anywhere.
I want to see those two guys stick
around. Those guys leave, I'll be pretty surprised.
Yeah, yeah, that would be surprising. I feel like they've got some more life in them left as cast members.
Absolutely.
Next, we have someone who she's been on the show for a little while now, but I still think of her as a newish person, Melissa Villaseñor.
Oh, yeah. It seems like they're starting to give her more to do.
Mm-hmm.
I still wish they'd give her a little bit more. I wish they would, like, because she's a very good singer. I wish they would mm-hmm. give her more, like, use that more. And she's also super good in impressions. I wish they would, mm-hmm. like, maybe, I mean, I don't know if it's, like, if she's not writing her own stuff, or maybe there's no writer there to write for her.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wish they would play to her strengths more, like her singing and her impressions, and write sketches around that.
Okay.
Because like they did that with Jay Farrow. Jay Farrow's strength is his impressions. Like,
yeah.
I mean, as far as sketch acting goes, he's like so-so. But mm-hmm. like, if you give him a sketch to do a Will Smith impression or a Jay-Z impression or Denzel, he'll knock it out the park. So I still wish they would like write more to her strengths.
Yeah.
The end.
I think so.
Yeah. Like, I mean, they are giving a little bit more like the Ouija sketch that was in the Paul Rudd episode that we had. And then they're giving her a little bit more here and there, but they need to write more to her strengths to make her really sort of pop and stand
out.
Yeah,
I would agree with that. She hasn't really had like a huge breakout character.
Yeah.
She's certainly had moments, and she's had strong sketches.
Yeah,
but yeah, she has to pop
like Heidi. More like Heidi popped,
mm-hmm.
and like Melissa's still like waiting.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And I will say, just because I got her Wikipedia page up here, somebody needs to get a better picture of her up on Wikipedia. This is not a flattering photo of her.
Oh, is that like a driver's license photo?
It looks like a driver's license photo.
What is that?
It's her performing in 2013 in Culver City, California. Somebody get on that and get a more flattering picture of Melissa Villaseñor up on her Wikipedia page.
Hire a photographer.
It's not flattering. It does not do her justice.
Take her to JCPenney portraits or something. this is no good.
Next, let's do the Weekend Update duo. We got Michael Che and Colin Jost.
Michael Che.
I gave Michael Che the top billing this time because Colin always gets the top billing.
You know,
let's give Michael a little love.
Che's doing all the heavy lifting.
I think a recurring theme on this podcast over the course of the season, yeah, we both feel that Michael Che is significantly stronger than Colin Jost on Weekend Update. I concur. I think he could totally do it solo at this point.
I could see that too. Like he has that. I mean, Jost is all right,
mm-hmm.
but Che is the energetic. He has the it factor.
Yeah,
like he has that same thing that maybe Dennis Miller had before him, or even uh-huh. or even Norm.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say like he could do it himself.
He's got. He can take the current events and just look at stuff from a different viewpoint and put a little twist on the stuff that gives it that unexpected oomph.
Right.
I feel like Jost's jokes on current events, they're usually very obvious, or just the typical take.
Yeah, yeah.
And Che usually surprises me with his take. Like I remember when they're talking about the possibility of a Trump sex tape being out there, and Che was like, what if it's good? Can you handle that? Can you, are you prepared to watch that if it's good? Which, I mean, nobody else had that joke.
What line did he say? You ready to to pound some ass? Did he say something like, he said something like that.
Yeah, it was like, are you ready to see Trump pound some ass?
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, I would miss the occasional chemistry and the back and forth between them, but I don't feel like the chemistry between them is always consistent. You know?
Yeah.
They have their moments, but I don't necessarily see that every single week.
Yeah, but so. if Che does do it by himself, then we'll miss out on the season-ending swapping jokes segment, which that's a joy.
It's great, but they've done it, like, I think at least three times now, so... I mean, honestly, they've been doing Update, I believe, for 5 years or so. Okay. So it may be time to shake up Update, just to shake it up. You know,
do they shake it up every 5 years? Is that the medium?
I don't know if I would say that. Let's see. Che became co-anchor in the 40th season. So that's 4 years they've done together. I feel like it's time to.
I wouldn't be opposed to do that.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, if it's the two of them again next year, I'll be fine with it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But if they shake it up,
I feel
if they shake it up and they do just do Che.
I'd
be interested in seeing that.
What would you feel about giving Che a new partner?
Ooh.
At the Update desk.
We mean like with a known guy or?
Yeah, I don't know.
Or gal.
I don't know if we'd want somebody from the existing cast. I mean,
I don't think
Cecily's done it, but she pulled out of that very quickly.
Yeah, I don't think anybody from the existing cast would do it.
Yeah, I can't see it.
I can't see anybody doing it.
Yeah.
So they'd have to get like an unknown or something. Yeah.
I don't know. That might be fun just to mix it up.
Maybe. This is a head scratcher.
You know, I feel like if they were going to do another year at the Update desk, this should probably be their last season.
All right.
You know, just to freshen it up.
All right. I'm fine with that.
You know.
It's been 5 years, you say?
He started September 2014. So.
Yeah.
So that's four solid seasons there.
Okay. All right, you know, I'm fine with that.
If 4 or 5 years, that's good for a Weekend Update era, because I think that's about as long as we had with, say, like Tina Fey and Jimmy Fallon, probably even a little less.
And Poehler and Fey was like about 5.
Poehler and Fey, I'd have to look that up. But
I'm sorry, I don't mean to put you to work.
I mean, God, my contract said that I did not have to do stuff when we got to when we did this podcast, but...
I was told there would be no searching.
Yes.
All right, but yeah.
It would take me a while to find that, is what I'm saying.
Okay. All right, next cast member.
Let's go to that. Next cast member. Well, let's see. We got Cecily Strong. Come on.
C Strong.
One of... God, we love her.
I would say she's one of the cornerstones of it.
One of the cornerstones, one of the anchors of the cast.
Yeah, like she stands...
Also, I will say, very unflattering Wikipedia picture. She's like blinking in the middle of her picture.
Her eyes closed?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
She's like in the middle of a sentence. She's at a microphone. What the hell, people?
Wikipedia, get on it.
Cecily Strong is a pretty, pretty woman.
Yeah,
and this picture does not do her justice.
Come on, man.
This is my new crusade here. We got to get more flattering pictures of SNL cast members on Wikipedia.
Let's do it.
Her middle name is Legler.
Legler.
Legler. Cecily Legler Strong.
That can't be right. Legler? I guess it's like a...
What, do you doubt Wikipedia?
No, I don't. I'm just saying.
How dare you, sir? There are two footnotes here.
I mean, that sounds like the last name of a character in an 80s comedy. Like a college comedy.
I think...
Like, get over here, Legler.
I think Legler is a perfectly lovely name.
Oh, I see what's going on.
All right, yeah. No, I mean... Cecily, don't listen to Darren. That's Darren.
All right, fine. So, can I handle a little truth?
But, oh my God, I'm looking at a list here of her celebrity impressions, and it goes on for like six lines here.
I mean, the Jeanine Pyro itself.
Jeanine Pyro is so wonderfully insane.
Yeah.
She's really good at playing like the middle-aged women for some reason.
I mean, how long has she been on? Like,
is that
5 years
let's
as
see,
well?
No. She became a featured player September 15th, 2012. So she's coming up on 7 years.
Wow.
Seven years.
So what do you think? Should she stay?
I want her to stay. I am not sick of Cecily yet. I don't know if I ever will be. I mean, she's so talented. She's so funny. She's so versatile. She's got some great recurring characters. I don't think she's driven any of them into the ground, personally.
Yeah, I think she did a thing where she's not in the spotlight as much as, like, mm-hmm. you know, like as a Kate McKinnon, where she like she'll do her thing and you know then yeah. kick back before you're sick of her.
And yeah, and she can be the straight person in the sketch, or she can be the goofy, funny one. She can be the right. center of the sketch, or she can be supporting.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean. She's got the sort of versatility that you want in an SNL cast member, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, like she'll be like the serious person, like you said, or she'll be like the that other character she does on Waking Up the Carrie Ann.
Yeah,
with the I'll go with you on that. I could stand to see her around for a little bit longer.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I feel like she's got at least another season or two in her. I mean, I would love to see her career blossom outside of SNL, though. I'd love to see.
I hope it will.
Like, I mean, I'd love to see her get a few cool movies under her belt move on to like a funny show of her own, which I'm sure she will whenever she leaves the show.
Absolutely.
I enjoy Cecily Strong quite a bit.
Indeed. All right. Who else we got next there up on the,
Our last person is Kate McKinnon.
Kate Mick.
Who I think is just undeniably the star of the show.
Yes. Right. Absolutely. Now. Absolutely.
And wow, I'm learning all sorts of things about people's names on Wikipedia.
How's her picture on Wikipedia?
Not great.
What the Wikipedia? Not great.
Look at this. Look at this picture. It's like a weird expression.
That's like some iPhone picture. What is going on here?
I realize it's like you got to have the rights to the picture and all that, but we can do better than this.
Jeez, people. Louise, people, we could put a man on the moon, but we can't get a good picture of Kate McKinnon on Wikipedia.
It's not. Yeah, it's not right. It's not right.
Not right.
I mean,
I don't like it.
But Kate McKinnon. She's wonderful. She's one of the all-time greats, as far as I'm concerned. She's does incredible impressions. She does like wonderful weird characters like Mrs. Rafferty, who's always getting alien abducted or time traveled or having a paranormal experience.
Pants coming off.
Her cooter and her tutor.
Yeah, she does impressions of many old white politicians.
Yes, usually in the Trump administration.
Yes, Giuliani and the like. And
You know, Sessions. pretty good consolation for not having Hillary become president is like she gets to play half the Trump administration.
Yeah. Oh, and she plays women. She plays who does she play? I mean, she plays Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She plays Elizabeth Warren.
Yep.
Like she's pretty much any politician.
Yeah. Yeah. She's.
She's half the White House.
She is great. It will be a sad, sad day when she leaves the show. But I feel like, I mean, she has done such a spectacular job on SNL. She can stay for as long as she wants, I'm sure.
I'd agree.
I mean, if Lorne has any sense at all. I feel like she's also like carving out a pretty decent movie career with like some supporting parts. She's in that upcoming movie Yesterday.
Yes, she is.
About the guy who's the only guy who remembers the Beatles.
Oh yeah,
and
becomes
a big hip musician.
That seems pretty interesting. And she's doing that Audible thing, the Heads Will Roll.
Oh yes. I haven't checked that out yet.
I'm not quite sure what that is.
I'm intrigued by it because it's a Kate McKinnon thing. So.
Yeah, and she's done like a ton of movies. She's like the Ghostbusters reboot and was that Rough Night.
Office Christmas Party.
Yeah, she's like
The Spy Who Dumped Me.
Oh yeah, that's right. I remember that.
Yeah, she's great. I can't say enough good things about Kate McKinnon. Love her to death.
Yeah, no, the world is Kate's oyster. I know a few people said, "Oh, she's been there for a while. We've seen all her tricks and stuff." Mm-hmm.
She also debuted in 2012, tail end of the season, April 7th.
Yeah,
2012. So it was right before Kristen Wiig left the show.
Okay.
So
it was her and Strong were around the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. She was a little before Cecily Strong. She's following Vanessa Bayer's departure. She's now the longest serving female cast member.
Really?
So she's been on the show for a good long time. But again, I am not sick of her yet. Probably because she's so versatile.
That's very true. Yeah. I would like to see her stay a little bit longer as well.
Yep. Yep. So I think a pretty solid cast. I wouldn't mind seeing more new people come in, and maybe some of the older people come out, excepting Kate and Cecily, because you know, those two can stay forever, as far as I'm concerned.
If those guys leave, I mean, you would have a whole new show, but like, I don't know. I mean, I think those two characters are so strong, and I mean, if they don't want to leave, and I would have them stick around a little bit longer. But I think you're right. Like, I think we might need a little bit more like new blood. I don't know if maybe in the writing department, but you know, in the casting department, I would say.
Yeah, yeah.
Too.
Okay, I'm now looking at other cast members' photos on Wikipedia. Beck Bennett's is bad.
What are you doing?
It's something. I just want to see if there's anybody who has an actual flattering picture on Wikipedia. Beck Bennett is not bad. It's a nice candid photo from Comic-Con. That is good.
We're going down a rabbit hole here, fella.
Well, like we do.
All right.
A.D. Bryant, could be better. Could be better.
Ooh. All right.
Che is okay. It's very casual. He's got a baseball cap and a hoodie on.
He always has a baseball cap and
hoodie. He does. It seems like whenever you get him away from the update desk.
Yeah, that's his M.O.
But, you know, he's looking directly in the camera. It's fairly flattering.
Okay. All right, let's
Mikey Day, what the hell? You can't even tell this is a picture of Mikey Day.
That's not even a close-up. No,
this is like a shot from the audience where he's performing.
Is that security footage? What is that?
There's a sign language interpreter next to him.
Oh, Mikey.
Leslie Jones, it's her performing at the Stress Factory. It's like a profile shot. Not the best. I mean, it's recognizable as her, but that's about it.
Oh, she has like the mohawk like really going on there.
It looks kind of...
It's like Yondu from Guardians of the Galaxy. But it's good.
Let's see. Colin Jost. Oh, kind of a casual photo for Colin Jost. He's in a plaid shirt and a baseball cap. This is the most laid back I've ever seen Colin Jost look.
Wearing Izod.
Yeah, yeah. He still looks extraordinarily preppy, but... Yeah.
He'll never be able to shake that.
Let's see. Alex Moffat. Oh, it's him doing stand-up. I don't think I was aware he did stand-up.
He did stand-up?
Yeah.
Huh.
He's listed as an actor, comedian. I know he's an improviser.
I mean, people confuse improv and comedians all the time.
Yeah, he's performed at Improv Olympic, Annoyance Theater, and Zany's Comedy Club. Okay, when I get home, I'm going to Google some Alex Moffat stand-up. I'm curious about a stand-up. Cal Mooney, another casual Comic-Con photo, but that's fine. That's perfectly fine.
Guys, go on Wikipedia and follow along.
Yeah. Oh, Keenan. Oh, look at Keenan's photo. He is looking sharp.
That's a photo.
This is him from like an award show. He's in a nice tux.
A chihuahua.
It doesn't say what the event was, but it's from May 2012. He is looking sharp. Keenan. Okay, whoever's doing Keenan's Wikipedia photo, kudos.
He probably has his own photographer for Wikipedia.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that is the benefit of being the longest tenured SNL cast members. You get a really nice, flattering Wikipedia photo.
Other SNL cast members hire Keenan's guy.
Yeah, because goddamn, Keenan looks awesome.
He's a beautiful man.
Yeah, let me close. Let me open that up again, just because it's such a great photo of him. Look at that.
Oh my God, strong jaw.
Look, I mean,
dreamy eyes.
You could put this photo on the front of Tiger Beat, and would not seem out of place.
Oh, like little cartoon hearts all around it.
Win a dream date with Keenan.
Oh. Sign me up.
Although he is married.
And what?
Has two children.
Oh.
But still, dream date.
I mean, good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's been married since 2011.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Well, wow. I think that's what like his new sitcom is. I think it's like a family sitcom thing.
No, I think he's supposed to play like a single dad in it.
Okay.
So I mean, that's what I heard.
He also holds the record for most celebrity impressions performed on the show, performing 129. Beating Daryl Hammond's previous record of 107. Wow.
Wow. All right. Well.
I think that's probably just a reflection of
how long he's been there.
How long he's been there. Yeah, you get more opportunities, but go Keenan.
And now you know the rest of the
129.
Story.
129. That is a staggering amount of impressions.
That's a full plate of eggs.
Yep. So anyway, that is our review of season 44.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what we're thinking. We should talk a little about what is going to happen with this show while SNL is off for the summer.
Right, because there's no new episodes of SNL, so does that mean there's new episodes of SNL Nerds?
Hell no.
Hell no?
Hell no.
Uh-uh.
We are going on. We're going strong.
That's right. This train don't stop.
We are going Cecily strong. So we're gonna keep this train rolling. We wanna keep going. We wanna keep doing this every week.
Full steam ahead.
To the best of our ability.
Yes.
So we talked about like what do we do? Do we go back and do we do old episodes? But there are some other SNL podcasts who are doing old SNL episodes.
That Week in SNL.
Yeah.
Check them out.
That's right. And you know, do we keep on doing theme weeks, which we usually do during the skip weeks?
Right, right.
I think we're going to do a little of that. But
we have a few theme week episodes. I mean, our ideas
mm-hmm,
kind of
mm-hmm.
percolating in the old noodle.
But we thought it would be fun to do SNL movies.
Yeah.
Talking about the movies that have spun off the show.
Now, we looked it up, and there aren't as many movies as we thought, but there's a good amount. There's like 11, only 11 SNL movies.
Yes, yes. I got a list up here. We have The Blues Brothers, Wayne's World, Coneheads, Wayne's World 2, It's Pat, Stewart Saves His Family, Blues Brothers 2000, A Night at the Roxbury, Superstar, The Ladies' Man, and MacGruber.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, a big thing that strikes me about this list is, like you said, there aren't as many as I thought there were. Because, right. like, for a while in the 90s, they were making so many SNL movies, it seemed like...
They were pumping them out.
And I would have guessed that there would be more, like, over a dozen at least.
Yeah.
But no, only 11.
Barely a dozen.
And this is movies with SNL characters who were spun off into their own movies.
Right.
And the other thing that strikes me is how few of these I've seen all the way through.
Yeah, you said you hadn't seen a bunch of these movies.
Bunch of them. I mean, how many would you say you've seen
out of this
list?
I've seen most. The only one I haven't seen It's Pat.
Okay.
But for...
That one flopped hard.
Yeah, oof. Flop hard. And Blues Brothers 2000 I haven't seen.
Yeah.
Everything else...
I've only seen bits and pieces of that.
Everything else I've seen.
Wow. Okay.
Like I saw... Blues Brothers I saw... Wayne's World, of course, I saw. Mm-hmm. What was the next one?
Coneheads.
It was years ago, but I saw it.
Yeah.
Then It's Pat, you said. I haven't seen Stewart, Save His Family.
You've seen that?
I saw it. I have thoughts about that. I did see it, but again, it was years and years and years ago.
Yeah.
Wayne's,
It's Pat and Stewart, Save His Family didn't even make it to $1 million in the box office.
Yeah.
So those did not do well.
Those are going to be rough to watch. Wayne's World 2 I saw years ago.
I might have seen all of that. I honestly don't remember.
Ladies' Man, I saw in college because I had to see it because I wrote for the college newspaper, I saw it to review it. Superstar, I saw it in college. Fun tidbit: I saw that for my college newspaper, and they let us interview Molly Shannon for the paper too.
What?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How have you never told me this before?
Did I not mention this?
I don't believe you've ever mentioned this
before.
Shoot. You've been sitting on this for like an entire television season.
I buried the lead.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was years ago when Superstar came out, and like they'd have this thing where like they'd have, you know, college newspaper writers and people who wrote for blogs or whatever.
Right.
They invited.
So it was like a group interview. At the table together.
Yeah, yeah. And like they'd have a screening in one of the screening rooms in Manhattan in the Sony building. Or the Paramount or whatever. And then afterwards, they're like saying, all right, here's some free food if you want some food. And in a couple minutes, Molly Shannon will be here to answer any questions you have. And so we were in a conference room, and Molly Shannon came. She was super nice. Took pictures with everybody, answered all our questions. She was really cool.
Well, look at that.
I might have a picture with Molly Shannon somewhere. I guess if I can find it.
Do you still have like a recording of it?
Probably.
That would be interesting.
I don't think I do. I might. Cause, I mean, it was like on a tape.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got to find the tape, and then I got to find a tape player.
To
Digi.
That would be a neat. That could be like a nice bit of bonus content for our Patreon subscribers or something. College age Darren Patterson interviewing Molly Shannon.
That
on the release of Superstar.
That's a tough. I got to. I might have. I don't know. I got to go back in my parents' house and dig through the boxes.
All right.
And I saw that. What were the other ones after
Night at the Roxbury?
I saw that from my college newspaper.
Ladies' Man, you said you saw. MacGruber, you've
MacGruber.
Seen.
MacGruber.
MacGruber, I've seen maybe half of, and I liked what I saw of it. So I'm
just going to say this. MacGruber, criminally underrated. Criminally.
So I'm looking forward to this, even though I know like some of these movies are infamously not considered good.
Yeah,
it will be interesting to see them and look back on them and discuss them.
Yeah, we could talk about why they weren't good or what happened here.
I mean, you know, even if they're not good, I hope they're at least interesting failures.
Yes.
So I'm keeping my fingers crossed there. So we're going to talk about those, and then that's 11 weeks that carries us through August. Yeah. So after that, we might expand the focus a little bit and talk about some other. Famous movies starring SNL alums.
Yeah, yeah. We're still talking about... If you have... You know, if you want to tweet us out some ideas, we're open to that. But we have...
Send us suggestions at SNL Nerd Show.
Yeah.
Or you can just tag us individually at Darren Credible.
Yeah. Instagram or Twitter.
And I'm at Trumbull Comic. So, yeah, please give us your suggestions. Uh, we We'd love to hear those. I'm sure you can think of something that we haven't considered yet.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure there's something out there.
But yeah, we got ideas. So that's what we're going to do throughout the course of the summer.
Summer movies.
Summer movies.
That's right. We're going to be the new Ebert and Roper.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Not Siskel and Ebert. Ebert and Roper.
The
guy that he got after Gene Siskel died.
I was
the
gonna,
duo that nobody really remembers.
I kind of forgot to Siskel's name for a minute, so I was like, Roper.
But you remembered Richard Roper's name?
My brain is weird.
Wow.
Hulk not good with words.
I don't know if Richard Roper remembers Richard Roper.
I kind of like Richard Roper. Why is everybody... What's with this Richard Roper
I mean, he was fine.
He was good.
He was...
He had some hot takes.
Yeah.
You know, he's hot takes. It was good.
What's your favorite Richard Roper hot take?
That one movie he thought was cool, and
right.
it wasn't.
Oh yeah, okay.
So
sure,
hot take.
Well, this is the sort of sizzling repartee that you can look forward to this summer. Right.
This Ebert and Roper like repartee.
And Roper.
You have this look forward to all summer. You're welcome, America.
So, we talked about it. I think we're going to do our best to just go through these movies chronologically.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be fun. So
we might have some guests coming. I don't know. We'll talk about that as well.
Yeah, we're not opposed to having the guests come in. And if we can find anybody who's like worked on the show or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Joey Mohawk, you're on notice.
Joey Mohawk, the door is always open.
Come in, you know, just let us know.
Come through our window.
We understand if there are things you can't say because of confidentiality or whatever.
Exactly.
We just want to spend some time with Joey Mohawk. We want to, I mean, just tell us tales of your life.
We know
you've lived an interesting life.
You don't even talk about Saturday Night Live. You can talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Tell us all about your hair care regimen.
Mohawk.
How do you keep up that mohawk?
Proper mohawk.
We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know. We're two bald men. We don't know about mohawk maintenance.
I haven't thought about hair in I can't remember when. I think Clinton was president.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah. So.
But yeah. So, we might have, people who've worked on the show, written on the show, been to SNL after parties. We're still figuring it out as we go.
We're open to that.
Yes.
So if you are one of those people, please get in touch with us. Please contact us via the social media.
Mm-hmm.
So that once again, I'm Trumbull Comic.
I'm at Darren Credible, D-A-R-I Incredible, and of course, visit the website, non-productive, Patreon,
yes,
and the like.
And leave us a review, give us a rating on wherever you listen to the podcast. That really does help us out. That helps boost us in the stats and all that.
Absolutely.
And I haven't checked lately to see if we've gotten any new reviews. Have
Ooh.
You?
No, I haven't. Oh, you're doing this right now?
Why
right
not?
Here, right now?
Why not?
Ooh, wow.
Let's see.
This is exciting.
If we don't have anything new, it's just going to crush me.
This is like... It's like checking to see if you got gifts for Christmas.
Let's see. We got
under the Christmas tree.
May 8th is our last thing. So that's something I think we have. We've done already.
Oh, is that Usama?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're due for a new one. We haven't had a new one in about 3 weeks, and we need a lot of love. So
we're needy people.
Yeah. So please send that our way. But we will be back next week. We'll be talking about the Blues Brothers.
Blues Brothers!
Aykroyd and Belushi.
Yes.
Gonna be fun.
Woo!
All right. Talk to you soon, folks.
Later, guys.
Bye.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.